It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg Podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Berlansky, and as always, I am joined by Nick Horwat here on this beautiful Monday morning. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are 3-0-2 to start the season. Now, you know, I would say without Sidney Crosby, but that's just the tip of the iceberg for the Penguins' injury issues. So
He said it.
So they're 3-0-2 despite a lot of injury issues, a lot of COVID issues, and we're going to get into that to start off our show as they were victorious on Saturday night. Once again, you were in the building, Mr. Horwat, enjoying the Pittsburgh Penguins laying an ass whooping on the Toronto Maple Leafs. How was that atmosphere? Because I know it was not a sellout once again.
Yeah, there was actually fewer people than the Dallas game, I heard. But it felt like there was more people there. So that means the atmosphere was definitely better, right?
Yeah.
It was a Saturday night. Drinks were flowing for many people. Not me. I was driving that night. So I was just mellowed. I was having some Hawaiian punches and a cheesesteak from, what's that place called? The place that sells the crab fries? They have cheesesteaks and they're really good. But I digress. The game was even better because, goodness gracious, that team had nobody. And we still just wrecked their shit. I don't know how else to put it, man. I was talking with Megan, who is an open Leafs fan, who, by the way, has not listened to the episode where I said they're going to go to the Cup Final yet. I keep telling her to listen to it. But I kept saying at the beginning of the game, the Leafs don't look bad yet. The Leafs don't look bad. They just look like they're getting outplayed. The Penguins look better. And then give it the second period, and holy crap, they just looked bad. The Leafs looked outright bad. Not even, just missing chances by a couple inches, which they did. There were a couple, good opportunities that, hit the post, or Jari made some good saves on. But they just looked like they couldn't get it together. They so many giveaways. I don't have the giveaway numbers. I'm sure there was way more than were probably recorded, just because it looked like they were giving it away every chance they got. The team didn't look like they were super into it. Jason Spezza is the only player on that team right now.
Yeah,
that is not how it should be on that team. I'm sure we've all gone and watched Steve Dangle's video at this point.
I haven't.
Our boy Hunter Hody's made his tweet, made it. Megan's tweet made it at the end. It was interesting. Take your time to go watch it. It was number 4 on trending in Canada, I think.
Oh.
And
not in Virginia, but go ahead.
It's the Leafs are in a not good spot. It's early. Mm-hmm. Steve said it in the video perfectly. It may be early this season. This has been happening for 4 years now. This is not where it should be. It's time for them to pick it up. And like I said, they just looked bad against not an AHL roster. I like that people keep saying that, but from a replacement level roster in the Penguins.
It also doesn't help the players that scored the 7 goals for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It wasn't Kasperi Kapanen. It wasn't Jake Guentzel. I mean, we'll go down through that here in a second. But before I mention that, when we're talking about the Leafs right now so far this season, yeah, they're struggling to start the season, and maybe that is the magic formula for them, because normally they're, you know, right out of the gates as one of the best teams of the season, and they carry that through the regular season, then suck in the postseason. So maybe they're trying to inverse it here and get all their sucking done early in the season. I'm sure Megan would appreciate that if that's what they're doing. But understanding that Matthews didn't play the first couple games of the year, but he still has 3 games under his belt and not a single point. You don't want to overreact too much to something like that, but he is supposed to be your all-world talent. He is a Rocket Richard winner now. You can't go your first 3 games, especially after you missed the first couple. You need to make a statement upon returning, especially when you play in the market that Austin Matthews does. So I don't want to get too much on the Toronto Maple Leafs, because the Penguins did come out and play a really good game. It seems like the same thing that we saw in the opener. People are saying, wow, the Maple Leafs are really bad, but not many people are giving the Penguins credit for the way that they played. Now, understanding a couple of the Penguins' goals did bounce off of Maple Leafs defenders, a couple bad deflections, but when you put up 7, that's no longer coincidence and chance. That's bad on one side and good on the other. You don't just get bad on one side and give up 7. So let me run down through the goals really quickly before we even get into that. We haven't even mentioned who has been out for the Penguins. We didn't mention what happened there.
I think it's kind of obvious, though. I think everyone sort of knows at this point. But yes, still, no Crosby, no Malkin, still. Crosby seems to be getting closer. Still no real time frame. Malkin, we know.
Yeah.
Out.
Gone.
Rust, we still have no information on.
I mean, it's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while. He's on IR. That's all we know. And then Jeff Carter got hit with a COVID situation. Mm-hmm. So did Tristan Jarry the same day, but he turned out to be okay, false positive. Mm-hmm. So he was back in the lineup. But then the morning of the game, good old Chris Letang, number 1 defenseman, down with the COVID situation. So those are the main 5.
Yeah.
That's a power play unit.
If it gets to the point where you say, wow, who's going to wear the alternate captain letter? Because the only person that we know is Dumoulin. And Dumoulin is already an alternate. So
yeah,
when
he
it
doesn't
gets
even
to that
wear
point,
it on a regular, fully healthy day. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when it gets to that point, you know you're missing a lot of your top echelon players. And also the fact that you look at where you're missing them. So you're missing your top 3 centers, your 28 minutes a night defenseman, and you were almost missing your starting goaltender, who, yes, people are still on him about what happened last year in the playoffs, but 28 saves on 29 shots again tonight. Tristan Jarry, or not tonight, I should say Saturday night. Tristan Jarry, he's looking really good to start the season. And what, he's 3-0-1?
Yeah, it may have been the broken Maple Leafs, but it was the Maple Leafs nonetheless that he was making those saves on. There's still talent there. I don't know how many shots. I don't think Marner got a shot. Let me start there. I didn't see him on the ice at all. Megan told me he got benched, so I believe it. He was pretty invisible otherwise. Matthews, I don't know how many shots he got. I know he was the one that scored, quote-unquote, on that goalie interference penalty. and then what, Nylander's other kind of good player right now?
Yeah. Mitch Marner had 2 shots on goal. Auston Matthews had 6.
Jeez.
And Willie Nylander had 2. John Tavares had 5. So that's the star power right there.
Matthews had 6 and a crossbar. So
and a crossbar.
Yeah. He's making the right saves on the right people, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Well, he made the saves on everybody but Jason Spezza.
And that was kind of a scramble. Not much you could do about it.
Yeah. And he almost made the save, too. He got a piece of that. So yeah. Tristan Jarry's performance also, I mean, we talk about 7-1, but I think just as important is holding the Toronto Maple Leafs to a 1 than it is putting up 7. I mean, obviously the 7's going to be the storyline because of the players that are out and the fact that 7's already kind of a wow number when you see it on a score sheet in an NHL game. But let's go down through who scored these goals for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mike Matheson scored. Jason Zucker got his 2nd of the year. Marcus Pedersen scored. Brian Boyle gets his 2nd of the year. Evan Rodriguez gets a goal. And your boy, DOC. Oh, yeah, Evan Rodriguez doing it against his former team. You got to love it. And DOC scores 2. Should have been 3. Had a couple opportunities. Might have even had 4 with some of the opportunities that he had. Definitely putting himself in the right position to score goals.
Yeah, he looked really good this game. The conversation has begun. Does he stay in the lineup when we're fully healthy? Now, first of all, the premise of a fully healthy Penguins roster seems like a farce.
Yeah.
But he's making his case. It's a hard case to make still just because he's so young, and you'd have to do some lineup maneuvers. Mm-hmm. Like, there would probably have to be a trade or something like that involved because our lineup isn't loaded with guys we can just send to the minors right now. Like, we can't ship anyone to the taxi squad either, which, by the way, the league should think about bringing that back for this season again, because multiple teams are getting hit with COVID issues. Just a thought. So we can't even, like, utilize the taxi squad. There would have to be some maneuvering, and I think would have to come in the form of a small trade of someone that we don't want to trade, because this whole team looks good right now. Mm-hmm. Or I saw the option of moving Malkin to the wing. Wild. I don't hate the idea, but does he?
I don't know. I mean, usually wingers have less responsibility in the defensive zone, so I'm sure he wouldn't be too upset at that fact.
Less skating on that knee? I like it, which, by the way, looked torn to shreds in the room.
I did not. Oh, is it out? I saw a little video snippet. I didn't see the actual full in the room. Is it out?
Yeah, and you can see his knee in the little snippet anyway. It looked torn to shreds, man.
Yeah.
That's recovery knee. It's not even like when it happened.
Yeah. So obviously there's still a while till he comes back.
Yeah.
But the Pittsburgh Penguins, now they've improved to 3-0-2 so far in the season. We're 5 games in. The Penguins have still yet to lose in regulation, and they're playing well in every game. This was their 2nd blowout victory in the first 5 games. Obviously, you remember they blew out the Blackhawks on opening night at PPG. So the Penguins not only are winning games, but they're blowing teams out. They are putting up 5-6 goals in a game. They're putting up 4 goals pretty much consistently unless they play the Dallas Stars. But, I mean, understandably, this team is scoring a lot of goals without a lot of goal-scoring players in the lineup. They have... And I saw that this was leading the league after Saturday's action. I don't know about Sunday's. I don't know if anybody was close. But the Penguins have 14 players so far that have scored a goal this season for them. That is crazy. 14 players in 5 games. All different players scoring goals. Right now, I believe Danton Heinen is leading the team in goals. And he hasn't scored a goal since... I mean, he's been scoreless in the last 2, which of 5 is not much.
The Pens' top 3 scorers are all... 3-2-5, I think. Rodriguez, Heinen, and O'Connor they all have the same stat line. I think it's 3-2-5.
Yeah, 3 goals, 2 assists, and 5 points.
Those three are leading our team right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy to think. I mean, Kasperi Kapanen's right behind him with 4 assists.
Good to see he's picking up there. He needs to score a goal, but still.
He really does. I mean, he screwed me over on Saturday. I don't know if he screwed me over because he had a couple of apples on Saturday, but I had a bet on DraftKings that he was going to score at some point in that game. 7 Penguins goals. Not a single one from Kasperi Kapanen. But,
no.
You know, sometimes that's how the cookie crumbles. Sometimes that's how the betting ends up, and it did not end up in my favor. But Like we said, the Penguins are 3-0-2. A really good game against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. It's a lot of really upbeat moods in Pittsburgh right now because the Steelers are also coming off a win and had a bye week. So that's always fun to see as well. You can't lose on a bye week. Exactly. And you can't get anybody... I shouldn't say can't. But most of the time, people don't get injured on a bye week. So that's also a good thing. But with the Penguins at 3-0-2, with Crosby progressing, we're past that minimum date now. And he's skating with the team. He's practicing. He's saying the one thing that he hasn't really done yet is he hasn't gotten into kind of physical battles, tough face-off battles, corner battles. So we'll see how that progresses. But you have to think that he should be returning sometime in the next week, or at least he's going to get that much closer sometime in the next week.
Yeah, he said he still doesn't have a timetable, but I don't know. It's interesting that we've hit the point and he hasn't given a timetable where he has said there isn't one.
Yeah.
I think that's what's interesting. But these are finicky things, man. You can't just throw them to the wolves.
Yeah.
Especially when we find out that we haven't had this discussion on the podcast yet. He's been injured with this for 7 years.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. It's been a while since we've recorded. So I forgot what we all talked about. But yeah, he's been injured since... He got injured initially by Ryan Reeves before Ryan Reeves was a Penguin.
Yep, St. Louis Blue Ryan Reeves.
Exactly. So, yeah, 7 years. And you threw that on the stat line of what he's done in that 7 years. And I also added a couple of the hardwares that he brought home. And it's ridiculous that this guy, now that you look at that, for 7 years of a 16-year career, he played with an injured wrist.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, it's not like he was playing with a broken wrist each and every one of these games.
Correct.
He said it himself that, hey, it came, it went, I was okay. It was like kind of in full health for most of it anyway. Mm-hmm. But the fact that an injury like that kind of lingered with him for that long, it makes the numbers, honestly, incredible. I mean,
yeah.
Sure, like we said, like, yeah, he wasn't hurt. He wasn't playing with a bandaged up wrist for 500 plus games. It was just, hey, sometimes it hurts, sometimes it doesn't. I was able to perform at the top of my game without a surgery. It just came to the point where, hey, it needed to get done.
Yeah.
That's still wild.
Yeah, let's not compare this to Mario Lemieux playing with a back injury because it was not that. I know there's some people that are saying, oh my God, Crosby played with... Listen, Mario Lemieux playing with his back injury whenever he needed to have... like some sort of device made so he could tie his skates versus Sidney Crosby saying, you know, my wrist doesn't feel right today. The completely different stories. So
Lemieux couldn't get over the boards. At least you can skate and kind of do something with one hand.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's still crazy to think that Crosby played with this injury on and off for 7 years without getting it taken care of. But now that it is, I mean, you hope that he's all right again. Why rush him back when the Penguins are 3-0-2 this season? So they're clearly playing better. Hopefully they get Carter and Letang back and out of the COVID protocol because as of right now, they're both asymptomatic. They're trying to figure out if they were false positives or not, but the Pittsburgh Penguins have had some issues with the old COVID-19 testing early on in this season, which is surprising because all of them are vaccinated.
Yep. Gotta love the breakthrough cases. It's just a hard situation and, hey, go get vaccinated, but also still play it safe. And also, let's just bring back the taxi squad. It was fun to talk about the taxi squad for a long time.
The taxi squad was a fun... it was a fun little addition to last year. Obviously, it was brought up in necessity, but it was fun to discuss.
It's nearing necessity again, though. I mean, the Penguins are having their issues. The Hawks have their issues now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kraken had to play their first game, like, without three of their main people, right? Yeah. Or did Alexiak end up playing?
I know McCann ended up playing.
Okay.
I have no idea who else did. I can't remember. That was a couple of weeks ago. My brain just... Too much information. But it's funny that you mentioned the taxi squad, because what that taxi squad would do was take away from how amazing this lineup looks. Jeez. And when I say this lineup, I'm talking about the... Pittsburgh Penguins AHL affiliate Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins starting lineup. Now, it was Friday night. Horwat sends me something on Twitter. I don't see the picture, so I don't know what it is. And he just says, this lineup is amazing.
And yeah. I knew I was going to send back without even looking at it and be like, you're definitely not talking about the Penguins lineup, because that was right after we learned, okay, Jari's going to be possibly out. Carter is in the COVID protocol. But I was wrong. It was the Penguins. It was just the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. Now, we look at this lineup right now. Sam Poulin, Radim Zahorna, Valtteri Puustinen is the top line. Second line of Kasper Bjorkqvist, Michael Chaput, and Felix Robert. Third line is Philip Hollander, Jordy Bellerive, and Nathan Légaré. And the fourth line is Jamie Devane, Jonathan Gruden, Kyle Olsen. That's the forward lineup.
That's about half of those guys you either will in Michael Chaput because injuries and bullshit, or would like to very much see in the Penguins in the NHL Penguins lineup in the near future.
Yeah.
Like, that's so nutty to be looking at, and that's in your AHL squad. Dude, I will drive across the state right now to watch that.
It's funny because, you know, a lot of people talk about the Penguins not having a really good prospect pool, and they're not wrong. I'm not going to try to dispute that fact. The Penguins are not deep when it comes to the prospect pool, but their entire prospect pool that is actually worth talking about, basically, is now playing in the AHL. So if you want to see the top prospects and the best prospects for the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're all playing for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, except for, you know, Joel Blomqvist and Callie Klang.
Yeah.
Those guys are still playing over in Europe, but
and
for the majority...
Tristan Braz still is a
And Tristan Braz is playing in Minnesota.
So we got time.
But the guys that are the closest to the NHL are where they should be. They're the closest league to the NHL, which is the AHL right now. So this team, and I mean, I didn't even mention the fact that defensively, P.O. Joseph and Taylor Fadun are the top pairing. Juuso Riikola and Matt Bartkowski are the second pairing. Just seems like those guys are call up at a moment's notice. We saw Riikola was called up as a paper move for Saturday's game. And then we have also Chris Biggers and Cam Lee as the third pairing down there. Obviously, Philip Lindbergh and Louis Domingue are the goaltenders. But
You know this lineup is good when you haven't heard of two people in the entire lineup.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't be your AHL roster. You shouldn't not know two people. You know what I mean?
And the thing is, it's not like we're two guys that, yes, we pay attention to Wilkes-Barre, we pay attention to Wheeling, but we don't follow that specifically. That's why when you see these guys, it's people that have been talked about in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
Looking at the AHL roster last few years, you would see, oh yeah, those guys, and then you'd hit the bottom six and be, who are most of these guys again? Like, where did they come from? Or you'd glance at Wheeling's lineup, be like, oh, okay, there's a couple names there. Right now, Wheeling's not a dumpster fire, but dude, I know none of the names down there, except for Josh Maniscalco, because the mighty have fallen. But Wheeling, I don't know that lineup at all.
Yeah, I mean, you also, you kind of don't take much away from Josh Maniscalco, because you look at this decor and you're like, okay, it's he lost out to Chris Biggers. That's all. He had there was one spot for him and he lost out.
Yeah, it's so nutty. I love it. The future is brighter than people want to give credit for.
And you know, with that, we figured let's end this segment with a quick minor league minute. We did one last week. Might as well start off this week doing one. So the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, 2-0 over the weekend with matching 2-1 overtime wins. They won on Friday night, 2-1. Philip Lindbergh got the start on Friday, 30 saves on 31 shots. And the goals for Wilkes-Barre by Philip Hollander, and then the OT winner by Kasper, the friendly ghost, Bjorkqvist. He's able to net one. And that was a home game for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And then on Sunday, they also were able to pick up a win, this time on the road against the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. A 2-1 overtime win once again, this time Louis Domingue in net for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And Valtteri Puustinen puts in both goals for the Baby Pens. Like I said, 2-0 over the weekend, 3-1 overall to start the season in four games. A good start for Wilkes-Barre, a good start for Pittsburgh, a good start for the Penguins organization.
It's good stuff. It's a ton of fun. Like you said, you almost called them the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah, they're going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins one day.
One day meaning like in 2 years.
Yeah.
Literally, some of these guys might be up this season, but they're probably going to filter through the next 2 years.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll just be fun.
You just hope we don't have a bunch of Daniel Sprongs come up.
That dude's doing so well now.
He's doing very well in Washington. That's the only reason I bring his name up. I always forget. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He was our like stud prospect, and now he's actually doing stuff for Washington. It's kind of sad.
It happens.
But also, if you watched the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins on NHL Network on Sunday, so they get a little bit more exposure. NHL Network covering the Wilkes-Barre versus Lehigh Valley game. Obviously, it's nice to see just organizational success. It's something that we haven't had for a little while, actually since prior to the Stanley Cups, whenever we had Wilkes-Barre as a really good team in the AHL. So you hope to get that back, and you hope that Wilkes-Barre succeeds this year, and you hope that the Pittsburgh Penguins obviously succeed as well. But we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to finish off this episode with our weekly Pens poll. We'll be right back. NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It is that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings will not leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network, as well as DraftKings. Make sure you use promo code THPN when you visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for great odds and opportunities. Once again, promo code THPN at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. I had a really good weekend sports betting. A really good weekend, mostly in the NHL and the NBA. I was doing good. I love betting NFL football, but I suck at betting NFL football.
I'm sure people have been losing a lot of money on the Chiefs right now.
Yeah, the Chiefs screwed me, and so did Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore getting killed by, you know, Joey Big Nuts Burrow, it crushed all of my bets.
Listen, I don't dislike Patrick Mahomes as a person. I hope he gets well soon. By the way, that injury did not look fun.
He cleared the concussion protocol already.
Oh, he did? Damn. Okay.
Yeah, he cleared it by last night. He cleared it by post-game press conferences.
Interesting.
I can't believe that.
Interesting. Anyway, yeah. No, I have nothing against Patrick Mahomes. It's just really funny watching him not be good anymore. I don't know why. There's just something really cynical inside of me that's like, I love watching the highest paid players, the best players, just be bad for a little bit.
The mighty have fallen, as you said in the last segment.
Yes, there's something about watching Patrick Mahomes throw interceptions that just, it brings a little joy to me. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I don't hate him at all. State Farm commercials might be a little annoying, but that's because we see them every other
All State Farm commercials are pretty much... Oh, no, I love the Aaron Rodgers ones.
I don't like Aaron Rodgers, though, so... That's just me not liking him, though. I know he's good, but I don't like him. Until he comes here next year, I don't like him.
A little bit of homerism, always. Always here at the tip of the iceberg. We just have a dash of homerism. Not a lot, although we're wearing a lot of black and gold, but... Regardless, let's get to our Pens poll for the week. And you kind of teased it a little bit earlier. And the question was, if the Penguins are at full health, big if, which of these players will still be in the lineup? Drew O'Connor, big old DOC, wins this poll at 34%. Brian Boyle gets 30% of the vote in second place. Evan Rodriguez brings home 21% of the vote. And so does Dominic Simone. So Simone and Rodriguez tie at 21%. But then those other two guys, soaring high. People love big Brian Boyle, and people are loving. Penguins leading scorer, DOC.
Well, Penguins leading scorer, also Evan Rodriguez down there. But
as well.
Wow. Because you're looking at this lineup now, and you're seeing how successful it is. You don't want to lose any of them,
yeah.
Really. This is so wild. I don't even remember who I picked. I think I made a selection when you first put it out and thought, I'm going to change this by the time we record just because games will have happened. Things will have changed. But I'm going to stick with Drew O'Connor just because there seems to be things that he is doing that is going to keep him up here. There seem to be some moves that can be made, whether or not it's liked or not by people, that can be made, but it's a business, and he is what's best for business at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it can be interesting. I think he has to continue to prove himself. Like, if, let's say, the ship falls apart, starts sinking, nah, never mind. Back to the AHL, come try again next year. But as of right now, in the what have you done for me lately sort of question this may be, yeah, Drew O'Connor's winning this race. Sure, Evan Rodriguez looks good and is also leading the league in points, but
leading we what?
Team. Team.
Yeah. I was about to say, wait, Evan Rodriguez has like 80 points because that's where Connor McDavid is?
There's also been like multiple hat tricks across the league already. This is a wild year.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Rodriguez leading the team in points, still, we kind of know what his role is on this team. It is replacement level, taxi squad if we had one, or healthy scratch, which might just be the inevitable. Dom Simone, dude, what got into him looking decent? What the hell? Low expectations, I guess, right? Has that been this entire Penguin season so far? We have no expectations for this team, and they're blowing us out of the water.
Yeah, basically.
We need to keep those expectations low when we're fully healthy, too, just so we're not disappointed.
You know, I mean, inherently, once you see, oh, Sidney Crosby's back in the lineup for a team that hasn't lost in regulation, if that happens on Tuesday against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which it probably won't. But if that happens, the expectations will inevitably go up.
Yep. Yeah, they will. It's just a reflex. Mm-hmm. And who was the last one I'm forgetting? Brian Boyle. Dude, I don't want to lose Brian Boyle off this team anymore. I don't know what the hell happened. I was fully discussing him, you know, in the offseason. Yeah, sign him onto his contract. Healthy scratch him and press box him once everyone's healthy. Well, now I don't want to lose him. I don't know why. It's not like he's the greatest performer. He's got 2 goals and an assist somewhere, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
But he's just... Also, I think maybe what did it in was that fight with Simmons, because once you are a Flyer scumbag, you are always a Flyer scumbag. Unless you join the Penguins, but I can't think of anyone that's gone that way. Aaron Asham, but that was far in the past.
Yeah.
I just need to know, did Mark Friedman and Wayne Simmons play together in Philly at any point?
I mean, Mark Friedman only played like 11 games.
Because he loves going after his former Flyer teammates, and that's what started that fight. I don't know if anyone caught on to that, but Simmons dumped the puck in, and you know how like when you dump a puck in, defensemen usually try and like shove you off of it?
Well, yeah, slow you down, so you lose momentum.
Oh, Friedman didn't do the push. He just started skating, drifting backwards, and just staring Simmons in his face. It was the greatest thing ever. That's what caused Simmons to... slash Friedman, not get penalized, but then Boyle jumped in to fight him, and something about Friedman and going after former Flyers, here for.
Also, former Flyers going after Mark Friedman last season. If we remember, he got injured in both games that he played against Philly.
Yeah, but this one just, it took until the end of the game, but he found Simmons and got in his face, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm here for playing Mark Friedman only during Flyer games.
Only during Flyer games, or games where there are prominent ex-Flyers in the lineup.
Shane Gostisbehere count as a prominent Flyer?
I was going to say Jake Voracek in Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's also... Yeah. That's a fun one.
Mm-hmm. But to answer this question, it's really weird because I also really like Brian Boyle right now. I'm a big fan of Brian Boyle and everything that he's doing. And you look at when the Penguins signed him, they did not sign him to a PTO, I believe, until the Sidney Crosby news came out.
Before. Yeah.
It was around the same time.
Yeah.
So basically, probably when the club knew, okay, we're down 2 centers, so we need a guy like Brian Boyle on a PTO. And yes, he did come into the room, and he showed something that is valuable. He's a leader. He's a pretty darn good NHL center. It's bottom 6 center, but still an NHL-level center nonetheless. And he's a guy that right now is one of the prominent leaders on a team that is lacking in that department because of all the injuries and all the COVID, you know, missing players. But when you talk about maybe you have Evgeny Malkin move to the wing, I would think Brian Boyle possibly move to the wing, but that's just me stretching to try to keep him on this lineup. Because if it comes down to is Mike Sullivan going to play Brian Boyle as a wing over a guy like Evan Rodriguez? I don't think that's the case, because I feel like Evan Rodriguez fits the mold that Mike Sullivan likes to play a lot more than a guy like Brian Boyle. Now, if you ask Ron Hextall, if you ask Brandon Burke, then no, it's probably going to be Brian Boyle. So that's why it's a little bit different. But I think the way Drew O'Connor has played, and more specifically the way that Mike Sullivan has spoken of Drew O'Connor in every single opportunity he's been able to get, that I think Drew O'Connor, as of right now, has earned a spot on this team when it's fully healthy. I haven't even tried to look at what that is, because I know it's not going to happen for a long time. But maybe I should this week try to put together a fully healthy Penguins lineup and see where Drew O'Connor fits. But I just feel like, because of the way that Sully is talking about him, and also because he's tied for the team lead in points, and he's also playing very, very good bottom six hockey, that Drew O'Connor has earned a spot on this fully healthy lineup. Now, this is also the same way that he talked about Evan Rodriguez before. So who's, is he going to go with his first love, or is he going to go with Drew O'Connor? And that's between Rodriguez and O'Connor. So we don't know which way Sully is leaning, but as of right now, he's definitely speaking a lot more highly of Drew O'Connor. But at the same time, Evan Rodriguez was technically the first line center on Saturday. So I don't know. I don't know which way to split it. The point is, most of these guys are going to be out of the lineup. It's probably, in my opinion, going to be between Drew O'Connor and Evan Rodriguez. But if O'Connor keeps playing the way that he does, I believe he stays in the lineup.
So I sent you and Dougie my like ideal rundown of how this whole injury situation should go. And O'Connor is in my final lineup. Boyle is not. And who's the other one not? Oh, Evan Rodriguez is not. So, for what it is worth, I had Drew O'Connor staying in the main lineup before the season started, so I guess I should hold to my opinion there. But I also had Zahorna making the opening night roster, so we see where that went. Things happen.
Yeah, now he's just the top line center for a really good Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins team.
But I do like the idea of Drew O'Connor staying in this lineup. I think maybe I'd rework this a little, but yet Boyle just doesn't, it just doesn't seem possible just looking at everyone else in this lineup, because you're not going to scratch Heinen, I don't think. Zach Aston-Reese is too important anymore, and everyone else is just unmovable. You can't, you know, in full conscience go into a game knowing, hey, we just scratched Brock McGinn, or hey, Kasperi Kapanen's in the press box for some reason. Boyle just, it seems inevitable he's not going to make the team. That's all. Mm-hmm. Or not make the team, but like,
I mean, he might be a scratch.
Yeah, be the healthy scratch, come full health, but also just, you know, that's if we ever get there, and then we have a very solid first man in.
Yeah.
An injury later down the line. Mm-hmm. Press boxing him with Evan Rodriguez doesn't sound like the worst idea.
No. I mean, when you look at the lineup that was iced on Saturday, once you get Jeff Carter back, or any forward back, then you know Sam Lafferty's the first name out. I mean, that's why he's not even in this poll, because Sam Lafferty is the first man out. And then after this, I would think one of these guys gets sent down, probably Dominic Simone, to be completely honest. He's going to have to, I believe, pass waivers. I don't remember what his waiver situation is. But one of these guys gets sent down and the other two become healthy scratches. So if you're at full health and Brian Boyle and Evan Rodriguez are healthy scratches and Drew O'Connor is that last man in, you're doing pretty well for yourself as far as, you know, roster strength.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully about it. It'll be hard. I'm going to try and figure, do something on Drew O'Connor staying in this lineup for the Hockey Writers. So got to find the time to do that. Oh, wait, I have like all day tomorrow. Love that.
You found the time.
Found the time.
And yeah, that's a Pens game day too. So if you get it out on a Pens game day, a lot of eyes will be on it.
I hope so.
Because they play the Tampa Bay Lightning once again, this time at home. So we'll see what John Cooper has to say about this Penguins lineup, if it is the same exact one that is iced that happened on Saturday. And then if the Penguins win again, we'll see if he says if it's his team's fault anyway.
Just turns around to bashing the Leafs again, because that's what we did.
Yeah, 100%. But unless you have anything else.
Thought I did. I don't. I've already got shoutouts and callouts ready for next episode. How about that?
Oh, well, there we go. That's going to be... let's just go right into it. No, I'm just kidding.
A callout I have written down is one that I should have used last week, so we'll discuss it then.
Sounds good. But that is going to do it for this episode of The Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you to everybody for tuning in to this episode. Sorry it came out a little bit late. We have busy lives, and sometimes it's hard to get together over the weekend, but we did get you your Monday episode, your Monday dose of Pens Talk from The Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you guys on Thursday. Have a good one, Pens fans.
You can follow us on Twitter at NickHorwat41 and at Nick_Berlansky. You can also follow the show's Twitter handle at Iceberg Podcast. This podcast can be found anywhere you get your podcasts from, so please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. We are brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. You can visit them on Twitter at HockeyPodNet or at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Every team, everywhere.